May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Every time I'm going to do something, Ron reads a really cool gospel lesson, so we just switch it a little bit. That's one of my favorite stories. It's the story of Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany. In the very next chapter in Luke, it talks about the fact that she had got set free as from seven demons. And the clear indication is it was just in that encounter with Jesus that she had this deliverance. It wasn't like any deliverance ministry was done. It just happened. And I believe that Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, was Martha's sister. And if you know more about the story of Martha and Mary, what appears to be, what seems to be, is that Mary and Margaret and Lazarus were family, and Jesus was already very close to Lazarus and Martha. And from this place, of course, Mary of Bethany becomes so close to him that she's the first person he reveals himself to in the resurrection. Not Peter or John or even his own mother, but Mary of Bethany. And then when you get over into chapter 12, 11 and 12, you just see them together again as a family. And I wonder about that because I think of Mary of Bethany, who had whatever reason had begun to live a life of a prostitute at some point, but had been desperate to come out of that and to come out of the guilt and shame. And maybe her sister and her brother had been telling her about this Jesus for a season. And she finds herself doing something very bold. Prostitutes don't get in the presence of Pharisees. They didn't then, and they don't do it now either. It's so sad that there are so many Pharisees in the church where people with brokenness or failure feel uncomfortable. Isn't that sad? And yet Jesus said he's a physician. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we should have the same attitude. So for the very point is that we welcome people who are sick, who are broken, who are needy, not pristine. So she boldly gets in his presence because evidently she believed, and I kind of believe, the gospel according to Chuck, is that her brother and sister had convinced her, if you could just get to him, he'll change your life. And so she gets in his presence, and as you know, as the story goes on, the Pharisees even complain when she's washing Jesus' feet. Doesn't he know that this is a sinner? Doesn't he know what kind of woman this is? And of course, Jesus knew exactly what kind of woman this was, and he rebukes them, and he says, you know, you didn't even greet me. You didn't wash my feet like you should as a traveler coming. You haven't done anything, anoint my head with oil. And he said, this woman's loved me much because she's been forgiven much. And the obvious intimation was, you don't even know you have a need for forgiveness. Therefore, you've expressed no affection towards me. But I think about her, and I think about the fact that she stands behind him, weeping. And I think in those moments is when she's getting set free from the demonic spirits. Things like immorality or whatever, but also things like shame. You think that was condemnation, guilt, self-hatred, rejection, fear of rejection. I mean, that could have been the list of eight demons that she got set free from. She was a social outcast, an embarrassment. And this was a religious environment she goes into, but she's desperate for him. And what happened? She's not even looking in his face. It just says she's standing behind him, weeping, and then expresses her affection and worship for him in such an extravagant way without any concern of what anybody else would think about her. You know, when you really have first love, when you really are in love, you don't really care what anybody thinks. You don't mind embarrassingly acting in excessive ways towards the one whom you love. And she does that in front of these religious people. And when he was reading that scripture this morning, I particularly thought of, I've taught that story so many times, the fact that she was standing behind him. There was something about Christ that so radiated the unconditional love of God. Because isn't that what Jesus came to do? Didn't it say that he came to reveal the likeness of his Father? We've talked about that a lot around here, that the Jews had a very wrong idea of their Father. They didn't even call him their Father. They were offended that Christ called him his Father. He was just this perfectionist, this God. It's all about keeping rules and being perfect. And Jesus came to reveal the true nature of his heart, his goodness. And for the first time in a long, long time, she was in the presence of someone who loved her, and she could sense it without even looking in his face. He just communicated by his very presence. There was an anointing on him that communicated the unconditional love of God. And for the first time in a long time, she was with somebody, a man, who didn't want something from her. And maybe for the first time in a long, long time, when she wasn't thinking about herself, she was being set free. Now, you know, when I heard the story again this morning, I thought, Lord, that's what I want you to do in my life. What does it mean to be Christ-like? It means a lot of things. But I want to so carry the unconditional love of God that a person can be behind me. Just be around me. Not even look at my face or my eyes or hear words. And encounter the freeing, liberating love of God. That's what it means to be Christ-like. And not experience a stiffening, a resistance, or you're a nuisance, or I don't have time for you, or this is irritating, or you said things I don't like. Jesus just didn't do that. He ministered and carried something different. And listen to me, he didn't do that as God. He did that as the Son of Man. He did that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that just invoked a prayer in my own heart. Oh God, it would be so awesome if just somebody standing behind me without even seeing responses or a look of love or affection or acceptance, they just knew. I carried something that was liberating and freeing. The love of God. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.